guest on the Breakfast Club this morning is Dr. Charlie Shulman. Charlie is a girl's name, by the way. Good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning, Dick. Thank you for inviting me. I'm pleased to be here with you and your listeners.
You're a personal life coach, which is not the same as a counselor, but you are a PhD, right?
That's correct.
And what does a personal life coach do? How's it different from counseling?
Well, let me explain to you just in general terms what a personal life coach is. And a personal life coach is someone that you would engage if you found yourself someplace, let's say there was a gap between where you are and where you wanted to be.
Isn't everybody in that situation?
But we don't all recognize that. But some of us really want to set goals and make changes in our life, and at that time, as I said, they would engage a personal life coach. But now I do something just a bit different along the lines of personal life coaching. And what I do is I specialize in people that have a nervous imbalance, which would be depression, anxiety, and panic disorder.
And you do something else that's a bit different in that rather than operate from an office, well, I mean, you have an office, but rather than have a place where your clients would come in and sit down and all of that, you deal with them on the phone.
That's correct, Dick. And the telephone is a wonderful tool because the kind of people that I work with often have many fears. And it gives them a sense of security when they can use the telephone. In fact, some of the people that I work with in the beginning, when they first call me, can't even get out of their home. Some of them are quite non-functional. So if they can pick up the phone, there's a sense of security, a sense of comfort. They don't have to worry about seeing me face to face. And surprisingly enough, you are able to form a bond very quickly over the telephone.
Is that because most folks have carried on long, deep conversations with friends over the phone at some point, and that they already have a lot of those same reactions and skills, and so once they form a relationship with you over the phone, it's like talking to a friend. It's not a new, unusual, scary experience. It's something they've done before. You need to build that comfort level at the beginning, but they're not headed for something unknown. They're not headed for office sessions on the couch or in the chair. That's all unknown territory. All they have to do is get used to talking to you on the phone, which they've done before.
You're absolutely right. In fact, that you say they speak with friends, I will often tell a new client, I am now your new best friend. And that does, believe it or not, bring a sense of comfort to the client. And you're right, it is a comfortable tool for them to use. Everyone's accustomed to using the telephone. And as I said, it works very well. It's a good tool, gives people a sense of security, and they feel safe.
What kinds of, now you talked about the special problems that you deal with, anxiety disorders, panic attacks, things like that. What are these problems? I mean, I don't know if to call them illnesses or problems or what, but what exactly is going on with
somebody? Well, the medical field will call it an illness or a disease. I choose to call it a nervous imbalance. And that's what I work on with my clients, is bringing their emotions or their nervous system into balance. Now, we talk a lot about depression, and there are two kinds of depression that I would like to bring to your attention. Someone can be depressed, or they can have depression, and there's a great deal of difference
If you're depressed, it might be, my dog died, it'll take me a while to get over it. If you have depression, there may be no cause that you can stick your finger on, but you feel terrible.
Bingo, you've got it, Dick. That's exactly right. And people often get that confused, but there definitely is a difference.
When people are sympathizing with a friend,
mm-hmm.
or discussing somebody in the office or whatever, and their problem they're discussing, and maybe depression, do people, in dealing with it, in sympathizing, in trying to comfort someone, sometimes make that mistake and think, you know, when somebody has depression, it gets mistaken by friends for they're depressed. And the friends try to treat it like, don't worry, it'll pass, these things pass. when that's a being depressed situation. You know, your dog died. You're going to feel bad for a while. It's natural. Don't worry about it. But on the other hand, if what they've got is depression, friends are saying, don't worry, you'll get over it. And the person suffering from that does not feel like they're going to get over it. They don't even know why they feel this way. And people are telling them that it's going to pass. You know, that kind of comfort isn't going to help much.
That's no comfort.
Oh, thanks a lot.
That is just no comfort whatsoever. Although, as you said, people do mean well. And you will often hear, well, pull yourself up by the bootstraps.
Hey,
you know?
Pull yourself together. You don't have to act like a nut for crying out loud.
I know when I suffered depression, and I did for several years, I would have friends tell me, get up, get dressed, go shopping, let's have lunch, you'll feel better. Hey, we all have a bad day. Well, that's really altogether different than being in depression and having long-going depression.
You know, another group who needs to understand this is employers. Because
yes.
A person's mood, their attitude, the way they get on with other folks at work, the way they get their work done or don't, is going to have a great deal of notice from an employer. Now, an employer who goes, well, you know, you're having a bad day, don't worry about it, you'll come back next week. Well, next week the person doesn't feel any better. And then the employer starts to get a little impatient. That's only natural. Because if the employer's expectation is, pull yourself together, you know, this is hurting your job. Even being threatened, you know, hey, your attitude here at work is really starting to get in the way of your job. People are starting to talk, and they're having to cover your unmet, you know, goals and things. Come on, let's get yourself together or else. That only is going to make the problem worse if what the person has is depression rather than being depressed.
That's true, because most often they're not only hearing that in the workplace, but as we talked earlier, they're hearing it from friends, they're hearing it from people at home, and before you know it, there becomes a sense of abandonment. People will eventually walk away from you simply because they're feeling helpless and hopeless. They don't really know what to do with you. The general public does not understand, as you pointed out, the difference between depression and having depression.
Well, if this starts to cost to your friends, maybe it costs to your job.
Absolutely it can.
Then what happens? I mean, does
the
situation
get
worse?
Well, then you go deeper into depression, certainly.
What's the ultimate outcome like?
Hopefully they call a coach who specializes. But no, a lot of people use talk therapy. A lot of people use medication. And for a lot of people, that's a wonderful discipline, and it works very well. And then there are people who, like myself, where that absolutely just did not help, and you have to find something else.
How's what you do? What is talk therapy, and how's what you do
talk
different?
Talk therapy is when you go to a therapist, and you sit across the room from the therapist, or you lie on the couch, and you talk, and they listen.
Oh, great. Yeah, this is like poor Sybil, who's in therapy for 15 years, and she's still screwed up.
That's right. In fact, sometimes even more so, only because it gives the patient an opportunity to really work things up and get more angry and more disturbed because they're not getting feedback from that particular therapist. Although I do want to point out that a lot of people do benefit from talk therapy and from medication as well.
You know, my reaction to talk therapy is kind of that it's a little unfair. If you're sharp enough to listen to yourself and figure out the problem and come up with some strategies to deal with the problem while you're talking about it. If you can figure this all out once you verbalize it, you might get better. But your therapist isn't going to help you any because they don't offer much in the way of advice. Well, how do you feel about that? That's no answer at all.
That's right.
You know, and that's almost kind of unfair because if there's somebody who just doesn't have that flash of inspiration while they're talking and come up with something on their own, they're getting nowhere. Mm-hmm. They're wasting their time and their money.
That's right. And most often we really don't know the cause of it. We really don't. And you know,
Do you have to find a cause or can you just find a strategy that deals
with
the problem?
Well, that's what I was going to say too. As a personal life coach, that's what I do. I really tell my clients, you know, don't go back so far. That's where the fear is. And don't project too far because that can be frightening as well. Let's deal with what's going on right now. Let's take positive steps. stay in the moment and move forward.
So you basically don't care if mother never loved your patient or your client?
I really don't care, because that's not going to help you right now. You can't go back and rewrite history and say, mother, the part belongs on the other side, and I'm going to be a healthy adult if you change this part. Now, where would that get us, Dick?
So you just say, okay, it doesn't matter what your mother did or didn't do. What does matter is what you make of your life from here on
out. Right now. What's happening right now, and how
can
we get
a poster in your office that says, today is the first day of the rest of your life?
Well, I've often been known to say that. It's a good quote, isn't it?
Wherever it came from. Now, dealing with folks on the phone, you basically have a clientele that can be coast to coast. You don't have to.
I do. In fact, I live in Michigan, and I have many clients that live out of state. So it is, once again, I'll tell you, it's a beautiful tool, because people can avail themselves to my services.
You know, there is one thing that occurs to me. There are some cultural differences around this country. Michigan is not California, and it's not Texas, and so forth. And do you ever run into situations where you're dealing with a client who's calling from Texas or Florida or California or New York, and there's a cultural impasse there, or when you say something, it doesn't necessarily come across the same as they think, or as you think it will, or when you suggest something, it doesn't necessarily get the same reaction as you expect, or are folks similar enough in this respect that there's no problem?
Well, I can answer that in two parts, Dick. The first part, as far as the cultural difference goes, I have enough of a bond established after the first intake where the client feels free to tell me, no, that's not correct and that's not how this works. It's a self-designed alliance. The client comes in and they tell me what they need, and we work on that. I do a three-hour intake for the first call.
My hand would be falling off by then.
No, you only think so. In fact, people will say to me, wow, it's over already. So they will tell me a whole lot about, you know, their cultural background and what's going on in their life at the present time. And the second answer to that question is, this imbalance has a common thread that runs through it. And I have to say, for all of my clients, they all have this commonality.
And what's that?
It could be different things. The base of it, truly, as I have found throughout the years of my practice, the base of it is they have learned not to love themselves. And you know, that's a birthright that we have, Dick. If you've ever observed a newborn baby, they love themselves. All they care about is their own needs. They want to be fed. They want to be changed. They're tired. Put me down so I can sleep.
It's all about me.
That's right. And somehow, some way, throughout life, you know, things have to be altered so that we can fit into society.
Are these people who listened a little too attentively when mama or grandma said that, you know, hey, you know, other people come first?
Right, right. We all respond differently to the same thing. We can have the same situation happen, and you will respond differently than I will respond.
Is that why it sometimes seems that the people who are subject to depression, when they're not depressed, are the same folks who give you the shirt off their back? They'd be there for any friend. They're always there to help. And yet it seems like, as happens sometimes, when their life starts to fall apart, they can't do the same things for themselves that they did for their friends.
Oh, Dick, you totally understand it. You really do. That's really what happens to the person that suffers depression, anxiety, or panic disorder.
Well, it makes sense. Now, they're always there for their friends because they put their friends first.
Well, it's love me. Please love me. I do this for you, you'll love me, and then I'll feel worthy, and I'll respect myself.
Ah, so they live for that reflected.
That's what it is. So my challenge is to actually let the client know that that needs to come from within, and that's one of the things that we do work on. So I do say, I don't treat, I train. And what I do is I help the client train their mind to respond in a different manner. And if something negative or traumatic happens throughout our life, and you know it does to all of us, then to be able to respond a bit differently. The difference between a person that suffers these types of imbalance and someone who doesn't is they hang on to that initial response for so long, and they work it up until it becomes a negative thing, and then it's absolutely overwhelming. And usually, the bottom line is they're blaming themselves.
But restate that. You said they hang on to that initial response.
They hang on to that initial response. Let's say you and I are walking down the street, and a big dog jumps out and starts barking at us. And we're both going to be what? Startled. We're going to be startled. Uh-huh. That is a startle. And that may be the end of it for you after the startle, and you realize the dog isn't going to bite you, and the dog goes about it its way, and you and I continue to walk down the street. The response is over for you. I may hang on to that and take it to a point where I have a very strong fear of dogs. It may even take me to a point where I can't walk past a pet store because there might be that doggy in the window.
Oh, that's one of those things where I want to say, gee, get a grip on yourself.
Right. That's it. But I, you know, we just respond differently.
Now is it, we've all seen situations where something goes wrong at the office during the day, or you have a trouble with your hair as you're getting ready for work, or the car doesn't start, but you finally make it to work all right. But for some people, it spoils the whole day.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Is that like a small version of this, and is it like
yes.
a precursor? Do people find that if they let these things bother them and wreck their entire day, they're just that much more likely to let little setbacks become big problems that will bother them forever and so forth? And so the next thing you know, the fact that they're landlord called up because the rent check didn't get to him quite on time suddenly poisons their whole relationship with the landlord, even though it was a passing thing. The landlord's not really upset over the long run, but suddenly, you know, they start looking for other places because they gotta ditch this guy. You know, they can't stay here anymore. I feel so embarrassed every time I see him. And you know, are they on the slippery slope downhill?
That's very much what can happen. It certainly is a good sign of what could be ahead of them.
Or a bad sign.
Yes, it could be a bad sign, that's for sure. But it's always good to recognize what's happening with you.
So if you start to see these things happen, is that the time to maybe talk with somebody?
That would be a wonderful time. But unfortunately, many times we don't recognize what's happening until we're in full-blown depression or anxiety.
Hmm.
Or
that's only normal. Nobody inflates the Mae West until he's already in the water.
There you go. So seldom do we understand what's going on. It's beautiful if I can have a client call me and ask me to work with them to overcome obstacles that are just beginning to rear their head and they recognize they could be in for trouble, but it seldom is that.
Well, a lot of people think, well, now that I know it's a problem, I can work on it
That's
myself.
Right.
I can do it.
That's right.
Can they? Can you? Or does it take somebody to stand outside and look at the situation dispassionately?
I think that it's a great help if you engage someone that can stand on the outside and look at things a little differently than you may be feeling inside, because as you talked and as you alluded to, we can blow these things all out of proportion. And sometimes we need someone to put things in perspective for us and invite us to look at things in a different light. So therefore, our response does change.
We're talking with Dr. Charlie Shulman. We're talking about a personal life coach, which is not the same as a therapist. If you don't get the difference now, you haven't been listening for the last 15 minutes. This is how I browbeat the listeners, you understand. Tell us about your website. There is a place where people can go and find out more, and that's the website. And I'm, you know, in 20 minutes, we can't cover everything, and I'm not even going to claim that I can think of all the good questions in 20 minutes. So tell us about the website.
Well, I do have a website, and I will give you the address. And it's all lowercase. It's personal-lifecoach.com, life coach being one word. And Dick, you'll find that my website will tell you a whole lot about me personally, so that you get to know me a little bit as much as what is possible through technology.
I guess considering the way you work with folks over the phone and the fact that they can't come in and talk to you face to face and look you in the eye and all those things that most of us do when we want to get to know someone and trust someone, they need to get a lot of information off your website.
Oh, absolutely, and I do give them a lot of information. As I said, I give you an opportunity to get to know some things about me, and then I also give you an opportunity to learn a bit about the method. And there's a picture of me also on the website. I think it's important to know the face on the other end of the telephone. And if you engage me to be your life coach, I make a point of sending you a picture of me, because I think that that's very helpful when you have an idea of what someone looks like.
What kind of questions do people ask when they first call? Do they start giving you a rundown of their life history? Or do they
Absolutely
start...
they do, and I ask for that. And that is the only time that I will go into the past with a client. But I need to know things that have happened. I'll tell them, please tell me the story of your life, because that allows me then to start to strategize. And I know then what avenues I have to take, what I need to bring to the attention of the client, and suggest some things for them that might help. And each and every week, that's what we do together, the client and myself. We talk about the progress they've made, the obstacles that they're still facing, and perhaps we could do this or do that to get on the right path as we walk the journey together.
Now, we all know some people express themselves better than others. It's just a learned skill, an ability some folks have, some don't have to that degree. Does a person's ability to express themselves have an impact on how quickly you can work with them, how soon they can show results, how well you get the picture of what it is that bothers them, or is part of your skill in sifting through what they say for what they really mean?
That is my skill and my challenge as well. As a good coach, you are able really to sense what you need to sense about the client, to hear what they're not saying. You know, people can speak volumes in silence. And as a good coach, you become very attuned to that. And so therefore, then you ask the questions, because the client has all the answers, but the coach needs to have the powerful questions. And that's how I get the information.
Everybody, I won't say everybody, but a lot of folks shade the truth a little bit. Nobody's the spirit carrier in his own story. He's the center main character. And so people tend not to share all their shortcomings with somebody they're talking with. You have to kind of look for what isn't said, look for, you know, take some of the shading away. It's kind of like unspinning what the spin doctor says after the president steps on his tongue. You kind of have to figure out what they really mean.
That's exactly one of the skills that I have to employ when I'm doing this 3-hour intake. I have to really always be aware, as you say, that the client isn't always telling me everything. But as the process goes on throughout the weeks during the course of this coaching, I do get more and more information. But I'm forever mindful in the beginning that, you know, memory is a wonderful thing, but it's very strange. It either softens or it exaggerates. And I always keep that in mind when I'm doing this intake with the client.
You can fool some of the people all the time. You can fool all the people some of the time, but you can't fool Dr. Charlie.
Well, I try not to let that happen.
Okay, Charlie Shulman, we're out of time. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Well, I thank you, and it was a pleasure being here at your broadcast this morning.
www.personal-lifecoach.com.
That's correct.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And thanks to our listeners.